Glory Days, the best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim
on Radio Nova.
Hey, Jill, folks. Yeah, Glory Days. Look at us here back. I don't know, we may sound different. We might sound a bit more European or something, or we might sound a bit more, I don't know, like Bon Viver.
Bon Viver.
Since, you know, this is the week that we've just returned from a major European capital, and obviously we've been wined and dined and everything by, you know, great and good, and
we actually
experienced
well.
Life outside of the mere humbleness of Ireland.
Yeah, oh, Jeepers, don't talk about making a stretch. Although you're not too far wrong, that's the first time I've ever been on a press junket thing where you're flown somewhere else so somebody can make an announcement that you'll hopefully advertise.
Is it your first one?
Oh, yeah, I've never done anything like that.
You've been on the receiving end of it. You've been the person they're all coming to see, haven't you?
Well, have I?
With the Young Offenders movie and everything.
Well, I never was taken. I did it all in Dublin.
Yeah, they all flew in to see you.
I don't think anyone flew in for that.
Well,
did
I got the Lewis up, I think.
Yeah, you'd see that's different. It's the same. It's not the same. I've never been on the thing. I can't believe how much they spend, to be quite honest. I mean, I ate me weight in sausages and I never paid for one. You know,
we were gloriously looked after. I mean, it was literally, it was kind of, I mean, they were nearly forcing food down your neck.
Oh, I didn't pay for a taxi.
I mean, the
I
amount
didn't
of
pay
times
for a pint.
Somebody said to you, you'll have dessert, PJ. Will you have dessert?
I know, and they're actually, I think first time ever, I've turned down desserts every single time.
Yeah.
Because I was just so stuffed full of sausage, which is just remarkable. My God, those Germans know how to live.
Did you have any non-sausage related food during the time there?
Yes, I did. I had one meatloaf that looked like a gammon steak. Do you remember that one?
Oh, with the fried egg and everything.
With the fried egg and all on top of it.
Yeah, yeah.
It actually tasted like 1977. It was perfect.
You see, I made an error there. I was trying to think, no, Jim, come on, you're bigger than this. Don't just go sausage all in. I went and had a chicken Caesar or something.
Yeah, I was very surprised with you.
Chewing forever, I was.
Well, very surprised.
I would have been
better
off just clogging my system with another. In fact, what I should have had was the thing Clint had and had that currywurst.
And so did the other fellow who was with us.
Tom.
Tom, he was the same. He got chicken Caesar. It was like having lunch with two donkeys. That's what it was. Like two donkeys. I was like sitting there. I was eating like, you know, sausage and potato.
I feel like I let myself down there.
Yeah, and then the two old donkeys munching on feed beside us.
There was a lot of lettuce in it.
There was an awful lot of lettuce.
Yeah.
And the chicken lumps were like the size of a human nose. You'd have to... It didn't look... I don't know. I didn't mind the comment.
I was really impressed with Berlin, I have to say.
Same here,
say that the one thing I've taken from it is, man, they love to eat.
Don't they just?
Every
aren't they really?
Second place is some variation on an eatery.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah, it's brilliant.
And it's perfect. It's
and
like
they really
said,
celebrate their own food.
I am the human personification of Berlin or Germany. It is the land of beer and sausage.
Yeah, it was just a pity that as good as the breakfast was, and it was amazing in the hotel, it was just a pity that because we were on air, we couldn't go down and see the buffet. Because German breakfasts, man, there is nothing in the world like it. The German breakfast buffet, like, it's outrageous. 300 types of sausage, 4,000 different types of ham, 54,000 different types of cheese, 800,000 different types of bread rolls. Like, it's just,
it's just a matter
incredible
of
how much.
Why aren't they all huge?
Discipline, I don't know. Self-discipline. There must be discipline.
That's the one element we're lacking.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, I mean, if you and I lived there, I mean, we're far from skinny at the moment. I will accept that.
Yeah, well, I know what you mean. If we lived there, it'd be a whole different thing.
I mean, you'd have to be taking walls down to get me out. And
oh, yeah, yeah. I'd be taking off my shoes and filling them up with food, walking around. Any extra space that I could pack something in, I'd be taking with me, you know. And the size of the beers they sell and everything as well. Like, you know, a full litre.
Yeah.
A full litre for $7.60. Was it $7.60 for a litre?
I mean, PJ got a beer one evening, and I swear to God, I thought they were going to have to give you one of those, you know, those lifeguard rings in case you fell in.
Yeah, it was like, and then I got another one. There was a blended banana in it.
But you're always doing that. You're always going from like mad things. Everybody else was like, are you having a beer? Are you going to have a glass of wine? Or are you going to have a... And PJ goes straight in for... I have that banana beer.
I have the banana. Oh, yeah. And it, obviously, it's only tourists that get it. Because I asked your man, is it any good? And he just goes, I don't know.
Yeah, that was code. That was his way of saying, look, man, I wouldn't drink
No one in Germany drinks that piss. I was there. Put the banana in the beer. Yeah.
Straight in for the banana.
And it was, I thought it would just be banana flavoured, but it did look as if a whole banana was maybe blended in it or something.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Because
there was bits of banana in it. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, Jesus.
Yeah.
That's awful.
It wasn't awful, no. I'd never get one again, but I did finish it, you know.
Yeah.
It wasn't awful, but you wouldn't
come
have...
Come on, you'd finish anything.
But isn't it mad, right? Say if
you're you're like Homer with that sandwich. I mean, when it comes to food, you just won't let that one go.
I know, yeah. I know, but isn't it mad, though, right? Say if I had 6 pints, right?
Yeah.
You'd say nothing. But if I sat down and ate the 6 bananas, people would be going, what the fuck are you doing eating 6 bananas?
Do you know what you're doing with your insides?
Yeah, well, you're eating 6 bananas. You're going, what the fuck are you doing to yourself? But if I just had the pints without the bananas in them...
It'd be grand.
Oh, it'd be grand. Yeah. Are you getting hungry? Yeah. But if I had 6 banana pints and then suddenly around and saying, does anyone want chips or something? You go, you're after eating 6 bananas, you fat pig.
What is your obsession that you went on with it? Because you were... Okay, so we know you went to the dark side and you went all craft beer, right? And it was bad enough when you were doing your Spitfires and your Bishop's Fingers.
Yeah.
But then you started doing... Everything had fruit in it and weird...
I went fruity for a bit.
Concoctions.
Yeah, like raspberry.
And
framboise. Raspberry framboise beer, yeah. And then what else?
Why are you saying it like that?
Framboise.
Is that when you were half cut? Oh, that's a framboise.
Yeah. It's actually called firm brass. So framboise. As I said.
You suddenly went to all fruity beer.
A little bit, yeah. I've got off it now again. I'm back to the usual now again. I lose the running myself. I like trying new things, you know.
Mm.
Every so often you get surprised rightly, you know.
Yeah.
Most of the time, I have to say, food experimentation goes wrong. You know, most of the time it does.
Yeah.
I think it does anyway.
Yeah.
You know, banana beer. I'd be like, to be honest as well, I wouldn't have had the banana beer had I known I was going to pay for it. but you do try these things, you know, because most of the time you change what you normally get from the Chinese.
But the weird thing about it is, like, you're in that place where they pride themselves on their beer. You
know
what I mean? And it doesn't have all the additives and and all that sort of stuff and everything about it. Like, it's a celebration of the art form of brewing and everything. And you went, stick a banana in it.
Stick a banana in it. Stick a banana in it. I know. It's like, you've been to Brussels in Belgium, haven't you? You know how mad the beers are over there. Like, that's tall. Like, you walk in, they might have, no messing, 300 different beers. Like, they might literally have 300 different beers. Like, you can actually make it up. And they're like, if you went in, they said, I want beer. Do you have that one that comes out of a virgin goat? And they go, we do, yeah. Like, they'd say,
I'll get it in for you.
I'll get it in for you. Oh, you're lucky. We're down one. We've 2 kegs left only.
That's the other thing, actually, particularly about Belgium as well, is that, you know, over here, right, supposing you were out with your mates or whatever, and you're in the pub or whatever, and you're having drinks, and you go, and you start, and you say you have a Guinness, right, and then next round comes around, and you go, I'll have a Budweiser. Oh, I did go, what?
Yeah.
And then if the next round came around, you went, I'll have a whiskey now, or whatever, or I'll have a Moretti, or whatever. You'd be going, what are you doing?
Well, you're
mixing your drinks or whatever. Whereas over there, you can, it's like a menu.
Oh, yeah,
it's like, I'm going to start with a dark.
I'll go
to a blonde.
And that's why you can buy a meter of beer. A meter. So you buy, it's 8 glasses or something. And they're all different ones.
Yeah.
So you can work your way through a meter of beer. Unbelievable.
That did strike me as strange.
Yeah.
The measurements was because, like, there was one of the menus had, you could have a kilo.
Yeah, a kilo of what
whatever
was it?
It was. Was it beef or was it pork or was it... pork it was. Give us a kilo of pork.
Isn't that what
and a meter of beer.
How did we not do that? We'll never have that chance again.
That's true, yeah.
Never.
Even just to have the joy of ordering a kilo of pork.
Yeah, just a kilo. Yeah, that'd be one of those. That's actually for a table of 6, sir. I know what I'm asking for.
Yeah, look, I don't need advice here.
Yeah, at what time will your friends be joining you when I'm finished eating all of this shit?
That was... That and the other just small unusual thing was... I I haven't been in a pub much in my life where holy God was looking down on me.
It was a weird
while I was having me pint.
It's mad, isn't it? Because that we were in this place. Maybe it was an old church, but there was a giant. Well, not giant Jesus. That's totally exaggerating. But there was a very large crucifix. Right over where the cash register was.
Yeah.
So I don't know if the place used an old church or whatever it was.
There was no obvious other churchy things, was there?
No, but then I think they're Lutheran, aren't they? So it's not what we'd be used to seeing as a church anyway.
I can't believe I'm disgusted now that I missed my opportunity. Based on why we were over there, like for Depeche Mode and everything, that when you asked about it, that I didn't go, oh, that? Sure, that's your own personal Jesus.
Oh, my God.
And I missed me. I missed my chance.
I hate when that happens. Yeah, that's like that thing when you have an argument with someone and then you go home and you're in the shower thinking of all the things you should have said. Do you know what I should have said to him?
Can we go back to Berlin so I can use me line?
Yeah. Next time I see him, I'm going to shout it at him.
Anyway, listen, a few of the bits and pieces that we were talking about when we were in Berlin are in this week's best bits, for some of the best bits that you can have a listen to right now in case you missed out. I'm trying to remember what they were. Oh, yeah. If you're over 50 and you're back in the dating game, there was a bit of advice from our love guru, BJ Gallagher, while we were over there.
Yeah, all is not lost. In fact, just once you keep your standards low, you might meet someone as pathetic as you are.
Also, we found out that the phrase, Fergie's famous phrase, squeaky bum time, had made it into the official kind of...
The Oxford Dictionary.
Oxford Dictionary, yeah. That's the one. And it did lead us down a somewhat strange path about other phrases.
Oh, yeah, and words that have gotten
some of them
in.
Had nothing to do with the Oxford Dictionary. But
No, some of them aren't even in the Urban Dictionary.
So you'll hear that again. Also, we were chatting during the week about perfume. It's not something that PJ and myself are necessarily well versed in.
No.
But to be honest with you, we'd have thought up some better names than some of the ones that are out there.
One of them is such an offensive name, we can't say it on the radio. But thankfully we stayed away from that one.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know how we did.
That was close.
But yeah,
that was close. And then, of course, during the week, Clint discovered what he feels is the secret to the success of this show, the chemistry that exists in this show, and where it has come from.
Yeah, and why it feels so sort of naturally animalistic, I suppose, you know. The nature drives this show, I think.
Yeah, all will be revealed. Have a listen, we'll talk to you on the other side.
Glory Days, the best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim
on Radio Nova.
The thing about travelling, right, as everybody will know, we do any sort of travelling, of course, if you go through airports, one of the big it's not so big anymore, but one of the big things used to be duty free.
Yeah, of course.
But the kind of rules around it have changed a bit and stuff, haven't they? It's different now.
It's not the same level of benefits you really get.
And the standard fare in sort of most duty frees are, it really revolves around, it's kind of three areas really, isn't it? There's the sweetie stuff.
Yeah, Toblerones.
Toblerones, effectively. There's the boozy stuff, I always drink responsibly.
Yeah, whiskey and gin.
All that kind of stuff. And then there's the kind of whole cosmetics-y perfumes, nice smellies.
All the smelly stuff, yeah. Exactly.
And so, like, you know, for the old last-minute gifts, maybe.
Yeah,
I never brought anything home. I'm going to have to get some.
What
do you have in a sort of a smelly thing?
Just get something in a petrol station. Yeah, got it on the way.
But it can be, like, you know, it's some of those areas, some of those perfumeries can be vast.
The names on them. Like, it's amazing what you can find when you do even the smallest bit of research about what sort of names have been put on perfume bottles and aftershave bottles over the years.
Because they're very arty, aren't they?
Yeah, like, they're very arty, but some of them are just weird. Like, Fat Baby Goddess was the name of one of the scents.
What?
Yeah. Who wants to be putting the smell of a fat baby onto themselves? Who actually does? Oh, do you like that smell? Yeah. Beautiful.
What's that you're wearing? Fat Baby Goddess?
That fat baby. Yeah. There's a real bang of sweaty toddler off you. Like, who wants that?
I wasn't expecting that.
No, there's loads of weird. Baby's Breath was another one. I'm not sure what the obsession with babies is. And then there's one called Bouquet Emulsion. That sounds like paint.
Bouquet Emulsion.
Yeah, it sounds like flowery paint, doesn't it? Like,
there's nothing attractive about that name at all.
It gets worse.
I thought these names were meant to be sort of aspirational. You know what I mean? Like, make you want to aspire to be, I don't know, whatever.
Brutal, because that's one of the names of the next one. Brutal. Aspire to be brutal. Who? Yeah, that's, you can imagine the ad, can't you?
Are you brutal?
Yeah, at everything.
Then this is for you.
Brutal.
You're brutal.
Yeah, yeah.
Not brute.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not misreading it.
I mean, that's not even a great, like, there's a smell of brutal off you.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, sorry about that. I fell.
Jeez, you're brutal. You're absolutely... Yeah, it's terrible.
That's a ridiculous name.
And then there's chalk all over us because we all want to smell like a Twix when we go out, don't we? Like, for God's sake, Deep Purple, that's obviously rubbed off the song, I'd say. And then there's just some really, really weird ones. Like, look at this. This was a real one now. Empress Eugenie's Nosegay is... Empress Eugenie's Nosegay scent. Nosegay scent.
What in the name
it's gone
God.
Way back. And yeah, way back with that one. And Gag. Imagine having a scent called Gag. You're literally naming you after vomit.
Yeah.
Gag.
So, yeah, what are you wearing, Gag? It's working, I tell you, it's working.
Yeah, here.
Have you tried Gag from Reflex Perfumes?
It's bananas.
That's very, I thought it was going to be. You know the way the paints went all weird.
Yeah, you,
there's no such thing as yellow paint anymore now. It has to be Asian sunset,
whatever. Yeah, yeah. And then there's gin and tonic because we all want to smell like we've been half
like
cut going into work. Who doesn't want to smell like their favourite alcohol walking into work? You know,
my God.
It's just, you can just get real gin and spray that in yourself if you want to stink like alcohol.
Yeah, that's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, and Ibiza hippie. Can you imagine the bang off an Ibiza hippie? What's that smell like? A fella who's been washing himself with nothing, only baby wipes and hash for a week.
Ibiza hippie.
Yeah.
As a perfume name.
Yeah, yeah. And there's Gas for Men, which I think is hilarious. Literally, that is like Gas for Men is the most polite way you can talk about fart ever, you know.
And especially in America, where that's the phrase for it, isn't it?
Did you pass gas?
Yeah, exactly.
You're going, oh, yeah, absolutely did. And for €85, I can get you a bottle. Yeah, and there's Hag, which is great, because imagine giving your missus something called Hag. Hey, that's an old Hag for you. But it's the ads, isn't it? These ads that you see for perfume, they're so...
So up their own bum.
There's nothing relevant in it ever.
Exactly.
Just moody, good-looking people.
They're always kind of, I suppose they're meant to be aspirational, but they don't tell you anything. I mean, like, Johnny Depp with a load of, what are they, tigers or something, or lions in his one.
Yeah, whatever.
The one he does.
But that doesn't make any sense. It's like that Johnny Depp is stroking a tiger, and he's in the nip or in the vest and has his sunglasses on up over his head. And they give you some weird inspirational quote. It's like, it's not the critic who counts. You know, be all this. You ever see it?
That's right, Jay.
The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena. The man who is covered with dust and sweat and blood, but who strives to be valiant again and again. And then it's like, yeah, Johnny Depp wears Purdue Green.
And sometimes they don't even say, like, it's literally just the whatever, two, like, they're people floating or something, or it's,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
or they're in it, whatever. And then they, and all they say then is the name, you know,
yeah, yeah, that's it, yeah,
Joop,
Nicole, that's Joop. It,
yeah. And you're supposed to take, I think, oh, that's nice, isn't it?
A bat How flies out of Nicole Kidman's hair, and they just go,
Joop,
you're like, what the hell am I after seeing?
It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
If you're single and over 50, you're probably thinking, I'm all washed up. You know, you're probably thinking, nobody's going to want an L yoke like me. You know, this is how Jim thinks anyway.
I am not single, thank you very much. No, Jim's not single, I beg your pardon. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, no, Jim's not single, yeah. Yeah, Jim makes somebody else think, how did I get stuck with an L yoke like this? But they're saying if you're single, you could still be considered a good catch after 50. That's what they're saying.
Right.
But they said, you know, there are things that may be expected of you when it comes to it. So people who are in that market for that type of person, well, if you're over 50, you've got to have your mortgage paid off. That's a bit strong. I don't think anyone has it paid off at 50 these days, you know.
Have your mortgage done and dusted. Own your house outright.
If you're in your 50s, yeah, you have your mortgage paid off.
Before you can date.
Well, this is like what makes you attractive as a potential life partner, you know.
Oh, right, okay.
So that you have your mortgage paid off, that you can cook a Sunday lunch, that's become a bit of a thing when you hit that age group, and that you haven't married more than twice before. It's starting to slip. You see the way the standards are starting to slip all of a sudden.
Yeah, yeah.
And the next one is...
Well, actually, that's like going for a job then, really. That's like looking at your previous employment. If you've messed up enough times in the past, it doesn't augur well, maybe.
True, yeah,
you know, even if you say, look, it wasn't me. It was always them.
Yeah, I know. And then they go, really, it's funny, the only thing they have in common is you.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. Exactly.
You know? So there's that. And then you can see the standards are slipping, because then it's like, preferably you should all have all your own teeth.
Wow.
It's just one of those.
Preferably have all your own teeth.
Yeah, yeah, preferably, yeah.
In the right place.
Having your own, well, I suppose, yeah. Rather than someone else.
As opposed to just having them, like, I kept them over the years.
Or in a glass.
I never let the tooth fairy near them.
In a glass beside the bed, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I exactly. have all my own teeth, they're just not in my mouth. And then they're saying all your own hair is obviously a plus. You know, that's... being in good shape. This is... 30% are looking for someone with a lust for life at 50. At 50. And lost for life at 50.
PJ hasn't even gotten there yet. You lost that ages ago.
Ah, yeah, that's got 30, maybe. That's gone. You know, you hit 30 and you're like, well, if I didn't do it by now, I couldn't be arsed, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, surely you become devoid of ambition and drive.
And any hope of any great happiness in the future.
Yeah, at 50. A lust for life. Like, what does that mean? A lust for life means, you know, I want to... travel the world.
Yeah, get out there and experience it all.
Oh, I want to walk.
Bungee jump.
Yeah, yeah, and walk through forests and meet civilizations that have been shut. I just want to go sit by the pool. You know. Yeah,
or by the fire.
Have a cocktail that has a bit of a Mars bar in it. That's, you know them. You know the way you're going. I'll have a Choco Rico, please. A rum Choco Rico. You know. Sitting by the pool.
Yeah, with a Mars bar.
Well, whatever, you know, yeah. I'll have a packet of alcoholic Oreo biscuits, or I'll have, you know, whatever it is. You know, you just want to, like, a lust for life.
Yeah.
I just want
to be fair.
I just want to get my trousers to fit. If I could just do that, I'd be happy.
Is that on the list?
No, that's funny enough, that's not on the list.
Preferably have trousers that fit.
Yeah,
and that aren't held up by string.
Held up by the one hole that's left on my belt, man. After you leave them open at the top, and the one hole in my belt holds up my jeans. And there's all these. I'm 47. And they're saying that when I hit 50, people will be looking for a lust for life.
You're doing okay there. Do you have all your own teeth?
Technically,
okay.
I lost a couple of wisdom teeth, and half of the two front ones is fake.
Okay. That's not bad. You do have your own hair.
Yeah, I do. I have my own hair now, yeah.
Now, whether it'll last till you're 50.
I don't think so. It's getting thin on the top. I'm starting to look like a young lad making his bar mitzvah.
You don't have a mortgage.
That's the thing. I can't even get into debt. I've been trying to get into debt for years. Nobody trusts me enough to give me a debt. I can't get one. I've been begging for debts. I'm there, please sink me in debt. They're like, no. I go, what can you give me? They said, they won't even let me credit card go over 1 week.
Oh my God.
That's
an extraordinary thing.
Yeah. I'll pay you.
To be refused debt.
Yeah, people are out there trying to buy houses and all. I couldn't even get a loan for a lawnmower.
It's Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
Radio Nova.
But it has been a great trip, and one of the best parts has been we've been out for dinner, obviously, each of the nights. And last night, PJ was absolutely in his element.
We went to
a tapas bar. It was called Barcelona.
Yes.
Lovely spot.
Great spot.
Great food. And PJ was in full flow. His fluent Spanish.
It's not
was just
fluid.
Flowing everywhere. He was chatting to other diners, other Spanish people, asking them, "What are you having?" In Spanish, obviously, and not with that accent. And he was chatting to the waiters and the owner. I was fantastic. The band, everybody. I was well impressed. Couldn't understand a word myself, but.
That's all I was saying to them was, smile, I don't speak Spanish. Help me out and I'll give you a fiver. That's
it was great. But you're quite the linguist.
I don't know if I'm a linguist now.
The other thing you've often done is you've often invented words. You know, there has been times when we're doing the show.
I have done that.
You know, where maybe we need to handle something delicately.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And as a result, you know, you've had to invent a phrase or two for us.
Yeah, amoratic. People become a bit amoratic with
that,
each other.
That was a famous one.
Yeah, yes. I tend to indulge in the indoor camping as another sort of euphemism for something.
And it turns out now that who's to say that these won't end up at some stage in the dictionary?
You never know.
They won't become accepted.
You'll never know, because squeaky bum time has just gone into the Oxford Dictionary.
Fergie's famous phrase.
He made it all those years ago, 26 years ago, I think it was. He was talking about, referring to a tense climax is what the... It looks like the definition is. It says
that's
in
what
the sport. A tense climax to a sporting or other, they say, event.
Right.
So that's what it is. A squeaky bum time. That's what it actually means. So there you go. It's like he says. Actually, he said it's getting tickly now. Squeaky bum time, I call it, and it's going to be an interesting few weeks. That was his exact quote. And now squeaky bum is in the. It's a proper. You can use it in the English language,
right?
Which is kind of. I don't know, if there's some sort of concern.
That probably makes... I mean, even in business meetings and stuff, if people, you know, if there was big deals going down or whatever and it was hinging on something and, you know, it was tense.
Yeah.
You can easily use that in polite conversation.
Yeah.
Tough squeaky bum time now, eh?
And there's been a few football ones that have gotten in. Tiki-taka. That's in the dictionary
now.
Oh,
for the way Barcelona play.
The way they used to play football, and stuff like that. But then there's like... like Billy Connolly last year referred to somebody who was very under the weather, having alcohol imbibed himself. He described him as being trousered. And now trousered is a word in the dictionary as a recognised slang term for being drunk.
Trousered?
Trousered, yeah.
I'm not sure I get it.
I don't get it at all.
And the weird thing about it is, always drink responsibly, but the amount of different ways, calling somebody drunk...
Yeah.
It must have the most amount of different phraseologies.
Of anything, yeah.
The things, you know, you can say people... sozzled, flutered.
Yeah, there's millions of them.
Endless.
Millions of them. And now I'm looking here, look, there's so many words that have gotten into this. I just have the dictionary here. I've looked at some of the words that have gotten in over the last 2 years. Shrinkflation. Who's sick of hearing that?
Yeah.
That's in. A gift economy. Which is apparently, I never got any gifts. A side hustle is in there. This is a real sign of our times, isn't it? No one can just do the one job anymore. You need a side hustle going on. Yeah, a little bit of this on the side. Of course, me and Jim have neither. But sure,
come here. I wonder, was Nixer ever officially accepted?
Oh, I don't know, actually.
A Nixer?
Yeah, I don't really know. There's...
Or was that just an Irish thing?
Have a look.
Do you have Nixers in Australia? Has anybody ever done a Nixer? No?
No.
A cash-only job or whatever, a little off-the-books number, no? For a land of convicts, they're very straight over there.
I'll tell you something, yeah. Shackle draggers.
Have you any of your own that you'd particularly like to be... Like, if there was something that you had to be remembered for now, now that, like, say, Fergie's famous phrase, squeaky bum time, is accepted now as an official English expression.
Is there any I'd like to have...
Yeah, any of your own from your history, like, that would have been... to be honest with you, it's like... remember you said some lad was talking to you, you told us this in the airport the other day, and got one of your Jake phrases just completely wrong, something you never
this
said.
This happens quite often, but one guy in particular, I remember, because like, there was a lot of catchphrases with Jake, you know, keep the change was one, how you doing, with the whistle, that was one.
Right.
People used to do that, and a guy came up to me once and goes, do your thing, give us your jacket, he goes, I never said that. He's there, you did, you go on, do it, give us your jacket. I said, I never did that.
He could hear it in his head.
He could hear, he goes, yeah, go on. He goes, and use words I can't use here. He goes, go on, yeah, don't be a, come on, for God's sake, just, I have it on the DVD and all at home. Give it your jacket. I said, I never.
That would have been the strangest catchphrase ever, to be fair to you.
What sort of, there's not even a ring to it. And then all I could do to get rid of him was do it. So he put his phone up and I went, give us your jacket. And you say, deadly, yeah. He says, I must show that to them all at home.
That's going to be amazing.
Never happened.
The gas thing is, when he showed them all at home, they probably went, I don't remember that in the show.
Yeah. I know, they'll know. The worst thing when you meet somebody goes, my ma loves you, and they ring her, and then she's on the phone. And she goes, "Who's that?" And you're like, "PJ." She's like, "Who's PJ?" And then he starts going, "Man, do you not remember him?"
I'm just giving you a jacket.
Give us your jacket.
It's Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
Radio Nova.
It took 20 years of a jungle stakeout, they say, to figure out that this is an absolute fact. They've revealed that individual friendships between these two. They persist over years and years, and sometimes they'll actually go as far as seeking out one another if one of them goes missing. And of course, it's typical of this show. It's literally what this show is. Apparently, gorillas and chimps make the best friends. They make best pals.
So a gorilla and a chimp,
yeah, you put,
is a winning combination.
It's a winning combination. How often have we looked at your physical body enhanced, woolly big back, and how many times have we looked at and examined my half-wittery and bad behaviour and thought that it was a bad thing? How many times have we undersold ourselves, Jim?
It's actually extraordinary. When Clint brought it in, there was a look of resignation between PJ and myself that we knew it's a perfect analogy. It really is a gorilla and a chimp performing well together.
I know. Now, granted, it is a bit of a stretch in some parts. We all know Jim is much more hairy than a gorilla, and we all know that a chimp is much smarter than me. But, you know, the key ingredients are the same.
Right. So it's the mischievous, kind of like impish behaviour of the chimp,
yeah,
on the one hand, with the serene dignity of the great silverback on the other.
It's kind of like that, yeah. You be there looking out over all your survey, you know. Like all gorillas, thinking some yoke's going to come here now and try and kill me. Oh, Jesus. What am I going to do?
Actually, yeah. Does it say anything about particularly anxious gorillas?
Does it say
anything about gorillas who are constantly second-guessing themselves?
I'd say all gorillas. Gorillas are the most philosophical of apes, aren't they?
Yeah. To be honest with you, you know, when a gorilla's stand there overlooking the jungle and everything, all that, I'd say he's actually there. They're probably like me. They're going, I don't know where I am.
Yeah.
Where am I? I can't find any way out here.
Yeah. Well,
I can't see a road. I don't even know how I got here.
What'll I get to eat? You know? I know if you're there. Oh, Jim! Look! Jim! I bet you didn't think I'd get a whole banana in there. Yeah, Jim,
oh,
look.
Oh my God.
Jim, I'm doing a handstand. Would you look? Jim! And you're like, oh, I have to feed this fool.
It's a scary thought, isn't it? Oh my God. And now it's scientific. And they had to stake out a jungle to find that out.
For 20 years.
I mean, literally.
20 years. All you have to do is turn on this show for 4 hours every morning.
Clint has observed that from the other side of that little window there.
Maybe Clint was the one that did the research. He's like, here, lad, save yourself a bit of time. You don't need to be on a jungle stakeout.
Honestly.
Yeah. In fact, we're right behind glass here, which is exactly like the way the gorillas are in the zoo. In Dublin Zoo.
They're observing it.
And now that I think about it, the young man in Dublin Zoo often has his head in his hands. He's probably just listening to the chimps shouting over the wall. You won't believe it, I'm out again. Jim! Jim! Climb over the wall there! Jim!
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
So there we go. Look at that. Another week in the bag.
Another week in the bag.
The weeks are flying.
And what
PJ.
A week it was. Look at that.
It was
flying
a great
around
week,
the
it?
World and all. Brilliant. Getting delayed flights and hanging around.
By the way, do you know the other thing that we didn't talk about? Maybe we won't talk about it. Maybe we'll save it. But remember we had a somewhat unusual flight attendant.
Oh, yes.
With the announcements,
I forgot all about him.
Yeah,
what was it he says? He
there was sort of once again a very 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 good.
That's it. Once again, a very very good. That's what he says at the start of everything. He just picks up the phone. Once again, a very very good. This the first time you said anything. That's all I wanted to say was you. This the first time you said anything. Once again, very, very good. He did it every time he picked it up. Once again, very, very good. We will be taking off and flying to Dublin. The temperature in Dublin now is once again very, very good. 12 degrees.
And then the sign off.
I swear to God, he said it. We landed and he picked up the thing. Once again, very, very good. We have landed. Thank you for flying with Ryanair today. Once again, thank you for laughing.
He did. He did say laughing.
He said, well, once again, thank you for laughing. He did.
Oh, are you sure he wasn't listening or something? Or what? You were convinced he was. Thank you for laughing. Nobody's fucking laughing. There's no laughing going on.
All I know is, if any time I answer the phone ever from now on, I'm answering it by going, once again, very, very good. Hello, this is PJ. Every time I answer, and every time, okay, talk to you later. Good luck. Once again, thank you for laughing. Every time now, that's it.
Right, perfect. Well, you can sign off then with that.
Okay, once again, very, very good. This has been a fantastic podcast. And once again, talk to you next week. And thank you for laughing.
You've been listening to Glory Days, the best of Radio Nova's Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. Catch the show live weekdays 6 to 10 on FM, online at nova.ie, or on the Nova app.